Let's continue on that God will fight your battles for you. Let's look at an example that was really quite a very desperate example here. Let's come to 2 Chronicles 20. And let's see what happened here with Judah and Jehoshaphat. And he was a righteous king. Let's see how God fought a battle for him. They had a war coming up between Moab, Ammon, and the children of Esau, or Mount Seir. And they were ready to conquer Judah. So God sent a prophet, 2 Chronicles 20. And let's pick it up here in verse 12. 2 Chronicles 20 in verse 12. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company which comes out against us. Sometimes you're going to be faced with odds that look absolutely impossible. Nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you, trusting God. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Very desperate thing. War is ugly. And if you watch on the History Channel how they depict some of these battles in the Bible, boy, those are more deadly and terrible than with shooting with weapons and guns. I mean, when they run a sword through the middle of you, that's it. You know. And they depict some of those things very, very cleverly to what they really would be like. Now, verse 14. And the Spirit of the Lord came on Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of, boy, he's got a long pedigree here, right? The son of Manaiah, a Levite from the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the congregation. Now, isn't that interesting? The sons of Asaph, they were the ones who took care of the Ark of the Covenant. And when David brought the Ark from Kirjath-Jearim back to Jerusalem and put it in a tent in his house, he had the sons of Asaph to minister to the Ark. And the very first psalm that he wrote, he gave to the head priest. I forget who it was. But anyway. And the priests were responsible for preserving all of the psalms and all of the writings and everything. Just a little sidebar as we go along. Verse 15, and he said, listen, all Judah and you people of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. It's like we had before. Do not fear. Trust in God. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Now remember that in the future. There are going to be things that will come up. And what did Jesus say? When they come up, if you are challenged, that the Spirit of the Father in you will give an answer that God wants, correct? Yes. Because it's God's. He says, verse 16, tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up by the way of the cliff of Ziz. and you shall find them at the end of the valley before the wilderness of Israel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear. Be not dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And always remember this, with the Spirit of God, God is always with us. And Jehoshaphat bowed his face to the ground, and all Judah and the people of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and the Levites, the son of the Kohathites, and of the sons of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose up early in the morning, went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you people of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established." Always remember that in every trial. God is the one who is going to establish you. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers to the Lord. Now, how's that for ammunition? Remember what happened when Paul and Silas and the ones were thrown into prison there in Philippi? They were in stocks, and what did they do? They were singing to God at midnight. And what happened? Bang, there was a big earthquake. All the prisoners were loose from their stocks. What happened? The jailer came down all afraid and was converted. So you never know what's going to happen, see? So they went out, they were singing. Praise the Lord, for his steadfast love or mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord sent ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Those are the Edomites who had come against Judah, and they were beaten. See, all three of them went out and conquered other people and were coming back, and they had this tremendous spoil that they were carrying with them. Now, let's see what happened. See how God handled this. Okay. Stood up against the people of Mount Seir to completely kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the people of Seir, everyone helped destroy one another. God sent angels of confusion, you know, and you could just see this, you know. Wouldn't that be something if there were a center for, if you could look at it this way, if there were a center for suicide bombers? And you knew they were going to come and, you know, have 50 suicide bombers released on the city that day. And he said, "Oh God, help us. They're going to destroy a lot of people." And so all 50 of them strapped on their suicide bombs and were getting ready to go out, and blew it. All 50 of them blew up. Have the same thing here, right? Yes. Destroy one another. And when Judah came to the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked at the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. They killed each other. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil, they found among them in abundance both riches and precious jewels, in great number among the dead bodies, which they stripped off them, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days carrying in the spoil. It was so much. Now see, it's a good lesson. God will fight for us. He will stand for us. Okay? Now, let's look at a couple of very important psalms here. Let's come to Psalm 34. Let's apply it to our lives. Psalm 34. Here are the promises. And this is why the Psalms are so important in our study and relationship with God. Because they give us the feelings and the emotions and the spirit of what David and the different ones who wrote the Psalms, what they went through in their trials and difficulties. And that's what we need. We need the encouragement of the Word of God. Psalm 34. And here again, if you're having trouble praying, just take the Psalms, get on your knees, open up the Bible to the Psalms and begin reading some of the Psalms as if those are your words in your prayer, and then your own words and your own prayer will begin to come from that. All right, Psalm 34. Verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall always be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. That's why we are not to fear. Confess them to God. He is our strength. He's our high tower. He's our rock. He's our fortress. Verse 5. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, why do we need troubles? Well, because. When are you going to ever learn to trust in God? You've been having a lot there, Chuck. Is that it? I'll pray for you. Okay. If everything goes smooth and nice and nothing ever happens, how are you going to learn to trust the Lord when difficulties come? Sometimes. Every day. Yeah, I feel that way sometimes. When that happens and you ask God to give you peace, you know. Now here's another promise that God gives. But what I want to mention here, saved him out of all his troubles. All. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. God will do that. And in the whole thing, what is the test in every trial? Do you love God, and do you believe him, and will you trust in him? Very simple. Now, I still haven't come to the point that I rejoice in trials, but I understand them better. All right, let's go on. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. You can look back and see in your life, difficult problems, and all of a sudden something happened. And you know, an angel had to do it. Okay? Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, of course, this is symbolic, just like with the Passover. We eat the broken bread, which symbolizes the flesh of Christ. We drink the little bit of wine, which symbolizes his blood, the blood of the new covenant. See. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him, because God is going to fight the battle for us. Oh, fear the Lord, all you saints, for there is nothing lacking to those who fear him. Boy, isn't that something? Come down here to verse 12. Who is the man that desires life and loves many days that he may say good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Listen, the most important work that God is doing on earth is the work in each and every one of us. And let's understand something very clear. What is done by the church is not the work of God. It is the work of the ministry. What God is doing in you to develop character is the work of God. Now, the work of the ministry is to facilitate that with the brethren, to help you have a relationship with God the Father in Jesus Christ, that you are established with them directly, see, so that God's work can be performed within you with His Spirit. So no corporate work that a church does is a work of God. It's a work of the ministry. So keep that in mind. Verse 14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and His ears are open to their cry. He will hear. Remember some of the Psalms. Remember how they start out? Sometimes you may have to start your prayer this way. Oh, Lord, hear. Yes, He does. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. And there is another quality we need to have. Verse 18. The Lord is nearer to the brokenhearted and saves those who are of a contrite spirit. Isn't that interesting how that is said that way? See? And I think the longer that we are converted, the longer that we live and follow God's way and have God's Spirit, the more we understand how much we need to rely on Him. And that just like all the trials that we have faced in our lives, but we've been reading here in the Bible, God will deliver us. And the end of it is eternal life. Now, there's another battle that we have, which is different from what other people experience. Let's come back here to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians 6. Just like the children of Israel looked upon Pharaoh and all of the armies, Pharaoh can be likened to a type of Satan, the devil, and his armies to the type of demons that between them and the righteous angels rule this world. And whenever there is more evil in the land, more demonic and satanic activity takes place. And if you don't believe that, do this. Look on the classic movie channel and then look at the modern movies today. Are they not more, especially, what's the one that is out there? You know why it's more successful? What is that? Avatar. Yeah. Pure Satanism. All the way through. I remember the first time we went to see Star Wars. The whole family went and we sat there and watched it and got done with it. And, you know, the kids were all excited, you know, Star Wars. And I said, that's just a bunch of Satanism. Oh, Dad. Well, It is. See? But so much so that people accept it now. Okay? Because this whole society is structured on following Satan the devil. That's why we're called out of this world. Now, every battle we have is not necessarily against Satan and the demons, but they are there. And they've got a lot of helpers around. All the media, all the, you know, the government, whatever. Okay? But Ephesians 6 shows us what we need to do, because our battle, ultimately, is spiritual. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Now notice how this carries over from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you see. And where does his strength come from? From his spirit. From his word. From God's direct intervention. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand, just like the children of Israel were told to stand. Where to stand? May be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. All the lust and temptation that is out there, says in chapter 2 that he's a prince of the power of the air. Well, that's sure true. He owns almost all the media, right? Look at all the evil that has come upon us because of that. Yet it still can be used for good, like with the internet and so forth. So we're happy about that. But look at the society we are living in. And now we're faced with the prospect of a lot of oppressive things coming down with the government through Obamacare. Now, I have a report that they have in there to chip everyone for health care. So I'm trying to get the direct verification right out of the law. See, because as a nation, we've turned our back on God. And if we turn our backs on God, God is not going to be mocked. Even though they didn't have a full understanding of God, God would hold them accountable for what they knew. And they've given themselves over to Satan and to evil. And so now, if you want that, God says, I'm going to give you a government which will do that. So not only are we facing the prospect of the mark of the beast, for good, of course. That's how they're going to eliminate fraud, huh? They say, oh yes, let's eliminate fraud. How do you eliminate fraud? By being honest. We'll chip everybody. Okay? So I want to find out if that is in there for sure. Looks like it is. Okay? Wiles of the devil all come along always, begins with an accusation against God that God is not fair, God is not love, God does not know what he's doing. What he does. It begins with doubt. It begins with fear. Every one of these things. Now, some people may have a particular trigger point. Other people may have many trigger points. So we have to understand where our weaknesses are and ask God to give us his strength. Because we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And there is a structure of the demon world. against powers, against the world rulers of the darkness of this age. Don't think for a minute that there aren't dedicated men who run this world, and you can understand who they are. I'll give you a clue. Hold your place here. Let's go back to Matthew, the 4th chapter. Okay. Go to Luke 4 instead of Matthew 4. That's a parallel account. Okay. Luke 4. Satan will always come along and tempt you with a benefit that looks like a blessing. But it's not. See, that's why you have to know God, know the Word of God, know Christ, understand right from wrong. All of those things come into play. See? Now we find here the temptation. Let's begin in verse 1, Luke 4. Let's see how Jesus fought Satan. Right here. And Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And that's what we have to do, be led by the Spirit. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that comes through prayer, that comes through study, that comes through living, that comes through experience, that comes through trials, just like Jesus going through the trial here. And this would be what you would call the trial of the ages. Right here. Verse 2. For 40 days being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing in those days. He fasted for the 40 days and 40 nights to rely on the Spirit of God. Now remember in the book of John, he says, I of myself can do nothing. He didn't want to rely on the flesh. So he fasted for the 40 days so that he would not rely on any physical strength that he may have had, but on the power of the Spirit of God. And all salvation for the whole world hinged upon this temptation. And afterward, after they had come to an end, he hungered. Then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Could he do that? Yes, indeed. Why did he not do it? Number one, because he would have obeyed Satan and he would have become his God. Okay? Number two, he would have been serving himself to feed himself. And that was not the purpose of his coming, was it? No. Jesus answered him saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And Matthew records that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil led him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now we can picture that today because we're used to movies and television and so forth. How many have been to these giant screen movies where, you know, you sit back in the audience and the screen is what? 60 feet by 40 feet, something like that. And they project out there and it's almost like, you know, when something comes toward you like a plane that's flying, everyone moves back like this because it seems like it's coming right at you, see? Well, so just picture this is what Satan is doing to Jesus, showing him all the kingdoms, Babylon and Greece and Rome and all the civilizations of China and the whole world all at once. Notice what he said to him. See? Verse 6, and the devil said to him, I will give you all this authority and the glory of them all, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I desire." Now, what do they have to do to receive it? Worship him. Are there people who worship Satan the devil today? Yes, indeed. When you really study and find out, you are going to find that they are the super elite of the world in all nations. And let me just mention another thing that I believe is coming down the pike, which I've said before recently, which is this. I believe they're working on a world currency through the G20. And it's going to come. And the way that they will bring it is collapse all the banks in the whole world at once. They'll be able to do that. Are all nations in debt? Yes, indeed. To whom? Those men. And who do they worship? Satan the devil. So we're going to have to fight that battle. How that's going to fall out, how that's going to be, I do not know. How soon it will come, I do not know. But it's going to come. Notice verse 7. "Therefore, if you will worship me in my presence," that means worship him as God, "all things shall be yours." Here's another lesson we can learn from this. The devil will offer people a shortcut to salvation, or a shortcut to the kingdom of God, and it won't work. Isn't that what he offered Adam and Eve? "I'll give you a benefit. You eat of this tree and you're going to get a benefit. Jesus, you bow down and worship me. Look, you're skin and bone. You need some food. You can produce it. You don't have to wait until later on to receive the kingdom. I'll give it to you now." You can just see what happened with people today, right? They're all trained. They're all trained with the television. "Come on down." You know? Yes. So he rejected it. Now, we have not been confronted with the wiles of the devil to that extent or that personally or that powerfully, but Jesus was. And he is there to fight for us. Let's come back to Ephesians, the 6th chapter now. This is why we're to put on the whole armor of God. Okay? And we need to stand against it. You can never defeat an enemy when you're running away because the most vulnerable part of your body is exposed. You're back. "And there are spiritual powers of wickedness in high places that sets the tone for all the governments of this world. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, whatever trial may come. And having worked out all things to stand," see, we're to be strong in the Lord. We're to rely upon him. We are to believe him. We are to follow him. See? "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth." See, because we have the word of God from the God of truth, which is the word of truth, and we have the spirit of truth, and those are the things that give us the strength and power that we need God will help you in it. Sometimes we just have to cry out to God and say, God, here I am. I have all these weaknesses, all these difficulties, all these problems, and God's answer to you is going to be, I'll strengthen you. You may have to wait to the resurrection, but I will see you safely there. Now here's the third time, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, wearing the breastplate of righteousness, covering the whole front of you. Okay? And righteousness is what? Commandments of God, number one. Righteousness of Christ in us through the Holy Spirit, number two. Breastplate, right? Having the laws of God written in our hearts and in our mind, we're to take the salvation, helmet of salvation here in just a minute. Okay? Righteousness also means right standing with God. All of those together. See, the Word of God is so fantastic, inspired by the mind of God, and even coming through in the translations when they're translated properly, convey exactly the same meaning as the original because God wants us to know. Okay? Breastplate of righteousness. And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're always to be doing that. That's the work of the ministry, as I've mentioned here. Besides all these, take up the shield of faith. Now the shield, the Greeks were able to defeat the Persians because they changed the way that they used the shields. The way they used shields with the Persians, they had their big shield, and then they had their handle in the middle, in the back of it, and then they had their spear or their sword that they would keep in the other hand. The Greeks, with fewer number of men, were able to defeat the Persians because they made the shield like this, more round, and they put an arm strap on one side of the shield, on the back side of it, so they could put their arm in there and then the handle on the other side so they could grab the shield and move the whole shield quickly that you couldn't do with it in the middle of the sword and you had held it with one hand. So they were able to take and deflect the spears and deflect the swords and then with their fighting hand they would take the sword and they would run it right through their enemy, right through the guts or lop off their head. I mean, they had bloody battles. I mean, you read in the Old Testament where they had battles and 30,000 died in one day. You took, ooh. So, like in that, you get the right shield that you can move, that you can deflect it. Sometimes with the temptations that come along, what do you have to do? Just get away from it. Get rid of it. If it's on the television, turn it off. Go to another channel. No one can watch television with me because I'm flipping from one channel to another. Okay? And I never listen to commercials. Commercials are the biggest lies. Take all this medicine, be wonderful, wonderful, happy, happy, drive this car. You know, don't worry about the 20% interest you have to pay. It's a good car. You know, come in, nothing down, sign and drive. You know, everybody's happy, everybody's smiling. You read about, you take this medicine, oh, it'll really cure you, but you may have suicidal tendencies or you may have aggression, you know, or if you have liver problems, you may die. Consult your physician. Yeah. You know, best thing to do is not be taking all that stuff. Now, if you are, you better consult your physician how to get down off of it a little bit. But you see, that's why I've said if Obamacare goes in, you better learn how to take care of your bodies. But those of you in Canada, you can fly to Florida and get your health care, like your prime minister or whoever that was. Yeah, okay. All right. Now notice, you can have power over that with which you will be able, you will have the power, the strength, the dunamis, to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now what is a prayer? What is a daily prayer? We all know it, don't we? That's the model prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your will be done in heaven as on earth. Your kingdom come too. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses or sins as we forgive others. That's another very important part of your spiritual armor, is forgiveness for others, so that you do not have an unforgiving spirit yourself. Okay? What is the next one then? Lead us not into temptation, but what? Deliver us from the evil one. So daily we ask for deliverance. Isn't that correct? Yes. Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And put on the helmet of salvation. Doesn't do any good to have all of this if your head is exposed. You know, you can get a sword haircut real quickly, take your brains with it. Okay? Helmet of salvation. That's where everything that God is doing with us is where? Right here. And in our hearts. So we need the helmet of salvation, protection for it. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. See, that's what's important. We need to know the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Think with the Word of God. Understand with the Word of God. See? That's what God wants us to do. He will bless us. Sometimes there will be blessings right in the middle of trouble. But you know that God has blessed you in spite of everything that's going on around you. Because he says and he promises he will fight for us. Okay? Verse 18. Praying at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And in this very thing, be watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And so that's what this day means. God will fight our battles for us. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.